You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I'm your host, Adam Miller, and today we are talking with Dana Dirksen, who has actually been on the program a few years ago. We were talking about her ministry called Songs for Saplings. And as we're talking this week and even this year, talking about the theme of worship and how worship is integrated into our lives and including our family and corporate gathering, it's a great privilege to have her as our guest today. Dana, thank you so much for joining us once again as a part of the Many Voices for That One Message.
Thanks so much for having me, Adam.
Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about yourself and kind of your passion that led you into this ministry, Songs for Saplings, where you put scripture and theology to music.
All right. Well, I am a mommy of six, and I started putting the Westminster Shorter Catechism to music so my kids could just have an easier way to memorize just these truths. And I found that with my own kids, it was really pretty much the only way I figured I would get through, you know, all these questions and answers in a fun way and make it stick. And it worked so well with them. And it took about 10 years, but I just started with the section of God and then creation, and worked through and saw how useful it was in my kids and memorizing scripture and the catechism, and also in my own life for me as a parent, just going through these concepts that I'd never really even considered before. And for me, putting them to music was a fun, it was a joy, and my kids really benefited.
This is one of those areas where I think, you know, teaching kids something is critically important. We want the kids to grow up and understand the doctrines of the faith and in a very easy and basic way, something that they'll be able to carry with them throughout the years. You certainly went another step. You tried to find a way to really make it creative and make it something that they would enjoy. Tell us a little bit more about kind of the passion as a parent that you want your kids to know all those things, but also the creative moment that you had and the inspiration to make it fun.
As a musician, I've been writing songs since I was about 5 years old. And just getting these truths into songs was something that came really natural for me. I love writing music, but at the same time, I don't have a real gift of just putting my own words to music. So, starting with putting scripture to music was kind of what helped me to start writing songs. And getting the Westminster Shorter Catechism to music was definitely using my putting lyrics to music skills and not having to write my own words. So,
yeah.
A lot of people who get the credit for these songs are the Westminster Divines, and just so much history in the church. Just parents, you know, throughout history have wanted their children to understand what they believe, understand the gospel, and understand just the concept of God and creation and the church. And so being able to utilize those amazing giftings that we have in the church, and then, you know, put my little bit to it, which is putting things to melody, has been such an honor and such a blessing to me. And the great thing about having these truths to music is music is a special gift from God. It uses a completely different side of our brain that we don't tap into unless, you know, it's music. It's its own thing. It's its own language. And to incorporate that with scripture and these truths really can set these truths deeper into our hearts and our minds and even our whole being. So I think that right there is the special thing about having all these truths set to music, which I love. I love most of all, I think.
The first album, I guess you would say, the first volume in this is addressing the question of who is God, and and who we are in relationship to God. And this is a very key element that is kind of foundational to all of theology. Theology in and of itself is about God. Did you find it was a crucial foundation to be laid to really explain to your children about the first steps of theology?
Yeah, it's funny that you asked that question, because that's actually the reason my husband and I started training our kids in catechism. The first question is, who is God in the catechism that we were studying? And we were at a friend's house. This pastor, his name's Stephen Hildebrandt, he kind of mentored my husband and I, him and his wife, and they taught these concepts, these truths to their children. And I was at their house one day. We were praying with the kids at breakfast, and one of their kids, who's about 8 years old, he was praying, and his prayer was, it was so rich and beautiful to have the words of, it's the song, Who is God? God is the only living and true God. In his prayer, he was praying just those words, God, you are the one and only living true God. You are all glorious, almighty. This little boy saying this really deep, rich prayer. And I just thought, I want to know that myself. And I especially want my children to know that. Our youngest was 2 at the time. And that's when we started trying to work on memorizing the catechism. And it is that one song there, probably maybe my favorite, just because it really does change your life if you can understand the concepts of who God is and who we are and who he's made us to be. It really does change your life.
This is interesting, as a culture that is so inundated with so many resources, and we have our churches, we have our Christian schools, we can homeschool. What was it that prompted you to go beyond just what your church was already providing in children's church or homeschooling or programs or Sunday school? What was it that motivated you to want to go beyond that and to really invest your own time and your own energy in making these truths accessible to your own children?
Yeah, I saw a need. You know, I saw how studying these truths, it can be really difficult. And I wanted to make it fun. I wanted to make it fun for my children. I wanted to make it easy, kind of making it something that it's like breathing. You know, we can have these truths and these concepts and these scripture verses. You just put it in your car and turn it on, and there's really, you know, just like we are supposed to be talking about these concepts and these truths with our kids, you know, as we're walking down the street or as we're going, putting them to bed. Everything in life needs to be centered around these truths. And for me, the easiest way was just to put it to music and have it just be filling our home.
Did you feel that this was a personal role, that you were the one who was responsible as a parent to make sure that your kids understood these truths? Was that kind of a part of the guiding force in putting these things and using your gifts, the gifts that God had already given you, and combining those, that passion and those giftings to put them to song?
Oh, yes, definitely. That's definitely one of the biggest responsibilities I think I've ever had in my life. Just training my children in the knowledge of scripture and who God is and who they are. It's definitely, I felt it my responsibility, and my husband as well.
Now, this is your second volume in your series going through the Westminster Catechism, is dealing with sin and the fall and salvation. Like, these are pretty heavy topics to deal with, especially with young children. How can you make these topics that are very heavy also light and fun and memorable for kids of all ages?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, for children, learning these concepts at a young age, they aren't heavy. They don't have the stigma that that adults really have with them. the word justification for a lot of adults is a really big word, and sanctification, because we didn't learn it as a child. But if you're learning these concepts as a child, it's not intimidating. It's children adapt, children grow with things at an early age, and even the concept of, Satan. I have a song called "Who Is Satan?" And you'll have to play it for the audience, because so they don't all go running away singing right now. But it's a concept that it's real, it's true, and it has to be taught. And especially if we can teach it in a very not a scary way. Because it doesn't have to be scary. The next song is "Who's Stronger, God or Satan?" And this can give a child so much comfort in life, growing up knowing these truths of Scripture.
It's interesting because often what is the case in our Christian education is we like to sanitize the Scriptures. We tell the story of Noah's Ark, but we don't tell of the sin surrounding that caused the flood. We don't talk about it as the tragedy that wiped out the human race, except for Noah and his family. We have this tendency to want to sanitize that as though we're protecting the children, but we're actually, I think as you were kind of pointing out, we're not protecting them. We're actually giving them a false impression of what our sin is, our fall, and what our salvation really means.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I agree.
I want to talk a little bit more about this process that you've worked at developing. This has taken a 10-year process of putting these into song. You have several children, I'm sure, that were growing up throughout those years. Can you tell us a little bit about what was developing in your own family as you were writing these songs, as your kids were growing up hearing them, and tell us a little bit about how it's kind of morphed over the 10 years.
Yeah, sure. I'm amazed that I was able to write these. I look back on just the time having all those little tiny toddlers in my house, and I just say, how did I do that? My oldest is 23, he's married, and I have another getting married this summer, and our youngest is 12. So I don't know. God was good. He gave me extra strength. And, I can look back and remember writing these songs out on the trampoline with the kids. How Were You Justified? That was a great one. I remember jumping on the trampoline with the kids and getting that melody and, oh, there's the song. So a lot of them were written just doing fun things with the kids or very, very late at night. And it's so exciting because my children were able to sing on the album, and my nieces and nephews, and just to know that these truths were instilled in their lives it's so life changing. And it comes up today, when my husband and I we do our family worship after dinner. We read, read a scripture after dinner, and it's just so fun to hear when we do read scriptures or we ask questions. It's so fun. The whole family will just chime in and they'll sing the scripture verse, and that happens so often. It's really exciting to see that over the years these truths have actually stuck in their hearts and minds.
Your third album here is about Christ and his work, and obviously this is the kind of central element of all of Scripture, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, where we draw our attention to the cross, because that's the culmination of God's revelation to us. And this is at the core of really what you want to communicate to your children and to all of the children who will grab a hold of your music and these catechisms. At the very core of that, communicating the gospel to a child is not as difficult as we often think it is it?
No, it's not. It's a lot easier, actually, communicating it to a child.
Yeah, it's like the faith of a child. It's something that that children can pick up almost a little bit easier than children. Have you found that in your writing these songs, that this album might seem to many of us as something that's even more and more challenging to communicate and make clear, but as you mentioned, the words are already written, you're just putting it to music, but this is a thing that really we really want to resonate with them, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. And having it in the form of a song, you know, where they can just sing it and have fun. It's just, I don't think they even have to think twice about it. It's just natural. It's, you know, singing, "Did Jesus Ever Sin?" Just jumping around the room and singing these words and these truths and the scripture references. It's just, it's in their heart, it's in their mind. And, you know, they know it. You ask them, where does it say in the Bible, "Jesus never sinned"? Oh, 1 Peter 2:22. And it just becomes so real.
As you've put all these songs to music, you're bringing in two really important elements as we talk about how we pass truths on to the next generation and kind of instilling it into them as they are still, their minds are still very palatable to these truths. And you can kind of put those truths in their mind that they'll have and they'll carry with them throughout the rest of their life. You're also creating tunes that help them to remember it, but you're also bringing in what is kind of a worship component that you can bring into your own family worship and time of devotion. You've put these things, you've implemented them in your own family. So can you tell us a little bit about what you've noticed and how it's, what it's meant to you over the years to be able to have this resource for your family?
Yeah, it's been, for me as a parent, it's been incredibly beneficial. Because I didn't grow up knowing these truths, and I missed out on a lot of comfort and a lot of blessing in my life as a child. I remember just really struggling, just not knowing really what I believed. I had a beautiful, sweet relationship with Jesus, and I know I was a Christian, but at the same time, I had these fears, these illogical fears that just kept me from truly experiencing just the blessings that God had for me, His grace and His mercy. And so for me as a parent, having that knowledge and being able to just share in the joy of knowing that my kids are growing up understanding, you know, God's mercy and His love for them is so, so beneficial for me. And also, just as a parent, you know, not understanding those concepts, you know, if I would have raised my children, I wouldn't have really understood those concepts. And I think knowing them as a parent really opens up discussion, deep discussion with your children. I've noticed just, you know, in my own family, being able to grasp these concepts at an early age and talk with these things with my kids, you know, it's already a question and answer format. So pretty much it just opens this incredible dialogue, which even as an adult, I think I don't even have that special relationship with other Christians that I know who don't have this wealth of truth and knowledge. So it's a great avenue for dialogue.
Now, this is something that you created this tool in helping establish for your own family a theology of worship, a theology of truth, and you put it to songs. I mean, this is something that every parent is looking for, especially if they're practicing family worship and family devotions on a regular basis, because it can be a challenge to keep the kids' attention. It can be a challenge to get them to sit and listen. But if you work at it like you have done, it gives you an opportunity to make it a little more fun.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Tell us a little bit about how you've seen this implemented. You started this with your children when they were 2 years old, so you started writing these songs has it helped in the process of really giving your family devotions a time that the kids are actually looking forward to?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, any time when a child has this, has a broad understanding of something, and I think just having a broad understanding of Scripture, having these truths to connect to as we're doing our devotions, gets the kids really excited. It's not so vague. They can grasp onto concepts and Scripture verses because, oh yeah, I already know that. And in our Bible study times together, I'm so impressed, really, that my kids, they're so smart. I think all kids are. You give them a basic foundation of the truth and what God tells us, and they can really expound on that. And my kids do as well. It's so fun. Probably my favorite times with my kids are sitting at the table after dinner, just discussing, you know, the scriptures that we've read, or just discussing just questions that come up. And a lot of the times they just go back to those scripture truths of justification, sanctification. It's incredibly helpful.
Now, you've also been working at putting all of these songs, these albums, to be translated in other languages. Can you tell us a little bit about your current projects, some of them that have already been completed and some that are yet to be completed?
Yes, definitely. That's probably, for me, the most exciting part of what we do at Songs for Saplings. Having these songs in English is fantastic, and I'm so happy that people are enjoying them. But being able to translate them into other languages is my mission. It has been for about 6 years. Our first language was Chichewa, which is the language of Malawi. In Malawi, children there really, I don't think they really have resources. I was kind of amazed. I went there for a mission trip around 7 years ago, and I just saw how the church needed some tools and some resources. And with this country where they really didn't have, you know, they don't have books, they don't have anything. There's sticks and stones and dirt, and the one thing they do have, which they grasp on so tightly, is they have their voices and they have singing. In Malawi, they sing. They get together. Every time they get together, they sing. They play the drums and they sing. And so seeing those children sing, "Who made you? God made me." All these scripture truths, and how they learn them so quickly was astounding to me. And I realized in Malawi they do speak English, and they can memorize. I could teach the children, go to a church, teach the kids a song for about 10 minutes. And actually, I'm thinking of one time we taught them three songs in about an hour. And then they immediately had it memorized and performed it in front of the congregation of 1,000. But in oral cultures, people have this special gift where they can hear something and memorize it quickly. And I wanted that for these children. I wanted it for this country. And I prayed that God would make that happen. And, you know, it did. We partnered with some African Bible College there, and they had some of their students translate the songs. And I actually went to Malawi with the idea that maybe I would record one song, maybe "Who Is God?" And we got there and set up in a closet in a in a little church with the crickets and and some kids and some singers, and they sang through the entire album. We recorded all 22 songs of Volume 1 in 4 days. And, you know, so to me, I learned, oh, this is what this music is for. We're going to use this music to teach the children of the church around the world what the Bible says and what they believe. And since then, we've done several other languages. French has all 6 volumes complete. Spanish is a big one we're working on. We have Russian, Polish, Ukrainian. The big ones we're working on over the next 4 years are Mandarin, Chinese, and Arabic. And I'm so excited about those. And Swahili. And so it's a huge endeavor, but to see how useful this music is in these countries makes it all worth it. And I know God will provide.
I love how this ministry that really started off for you and something to help your own children was born out of a mother's heart to teach her children the truths of the Word of God and the doctrines of the faith has grown into something that is now multiple albums in English to be shared with the church of all English-speaking countries, and now you're endeavoring to go beyond that to reach out into all these different languages, and this is something that you're doing as a ministry that I think still captures the heart of a mother who wants to teach the next generation the wonderful truths, the life-changing power of the Word of God and who Christ is. So if people want to support your ministry, of course, they can head over to our website at songtime.com. We'll send them a link to your website for Songs for Saplings. But this is something that you really have tried to bring in supporters as a ministry to see that this continues to go out, and it's really flourished throughout the years, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has. It's astounding to me. you know that God is a good God, and he does miracles, because as a mother of 6 and as a musician, I don't know if you guys know any musicians, you know we're not the most organized or, so anyway, God is amazing. It's really just a work of God, and I'm so thankful for all the people who collaborate with these translations. And I don't do any of the singing on the other translations. A lot of people, you know, that's the first thing they'll ask is, how do you learn all those languages? And thankfully, I don't have to do that.
I want to talk a little bit now about something I think that the church is missing, that I think that your ministry is supplying in a large part, because the largest collection of a cohesive book in the Bible is the Psalms. It's the center of our Bibles. It's the largest section, and it is the music book for the church, and it has been since they were first compiled. And yet, we live in a culture now where there isn't kind of a cohesive music book. There isn't a cohesive theology. Is this something that you see as a real need in our churches today, to have something that is central, something that is foundational, and something that is teaching a whole picture of truth, as opposed to just a kind of cherry picking the kind of doctrines that we liked in our worship?
Yeah, I definitely think that's true. The church historically, you know, has probably done that better than we do today. It's definitely needed in our churches. I think just me experiencing that firsthand as a child, I think I know that, I know that just as well as anyone else, that the church is definitely lacking in getting these deep truths, the importance, understanding the importance of knowing these truths. And, you know, it's a protection for the church, the protection for our children when they know what they believe, and when they have, you know, these scriptures hidden in their hearts, you know, God's word isn't going to come back void. And just having this whole 115 song series is, I think it's the magnitude of what this can do for the church is, well, it's beyond my comprehension because it really is God's word, and God is the one who does the changing in hearts. But being able to get it out there and in children's minds is a huge gift.
Now, you first started off by trying to just put scripture text to music, and it transitioned at one point to taking the Westminster Catechism and putting that to music. What was the cause or that shift? Was it really because you wanted to create a holistic theology, something that encompassed all of it, as opposed to just teaching kids various verses? What was the motivation for that switch?
That's a good question. You know, the Songs for Saplings, ABC, I think that's what you're referring to. That was an album that I started writing for my children and the children of all the teachers at a school that I was volunteering at. The school is called Cedar Tree Christian Academy. And I helped to watch the teachers' children during the school day. And we nicknamed the children the little saplings because the school is named Cedar Tree after the cedars of Lebanon. And so just to help those children learn the scripture verses, I would put all those little ABC scripture verses to music each week, and I recorded them on a tape deck. Do you know what one of those is? So I remember labeling it, this is the Songs for Little Saplings, and so that's how the name Songs for Saplings came about, was that little nursery group. But after getting that album out, I just realized I wanted to do more, and I actually prayed that God would give me some ideas, and I asked some friends. I remember asking a friend to really help me decide what to do next, and someone suggested put the Westminster Shorter Catechism to music. And I thought, wow, why didn't I think of that? I've been trying to get my kids to memorize this for years now. And about 2 weeks later, I had all of Volume 1 written, and God just opened the door for me to work with some really good producers that were in town, and everything just worked out really well for that album to get done. It didn't take long, and yeah, from there it just, you know, it's a long catechism, so we just kept on going.
For any parent who's really struggled with trying to teach their kids to memorize, they'll use any trick they can to kind of help them get their verse memorized, whether it's for Sunday school or a youth program or for their school like you were doing. But I think the ability to bring them to music and to make that something that will last and endear with them. I know that the songs I learned that contained scripture, they've stuck with me longer than the verses that I memorized to simply get a treat or to get the past that lesson. I think that the songs I learned with music or the scriptures I learned with music, those are the things that have stuck with me all of these years. So you've certainly touched on something. I think that's your ability with your gift of music and your mother's heart, your passion to push these truths in their hearts is really what has made a world of difference, and why it is so great to make it accessible to our listeners as well, and to those in your foreign translation, your other languages that you're translating them into. We've been talking with Dana Dirksen, who is the founder of Songs for Saplings, and a great collection of songs, both of verses and the Westminster Shorter Catechism and others. If you want to find out more information about their ministry, please head over to our website at songtime.com, or of course, give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. Dana, thank you so much for joining us and for sharing with us a little bit more about the background of your music, but also the real heart of your ministry.
Thanks so much for having me, Adam.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.